Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're brought to you today live from Kansas City by the law firm Condori and Murrah. They will help you with your last will and testament. They'll set up a living trust. They'll put together a medical power of attorney for you. Heck, if you're a couple of portly fellows doing a radio show, they'll bring you to KC, put you in an Airbnb, and get you tickets 12 rows from the field, because those are the kind of guys they are. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Again, a huge thank you to their team for taking such good care of us out here in Kansas City, where we were at Arrowhead Stadium last night. Just an amazing atmosphere for NFL football in prime time. Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show, the starting tailback for your Washington Commanders, rookie running back, Jacory Crosky Merritt. Bill, it is good to have you back on the show. How are you, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
Doing very well. Sure you're tired. I know you got back very, very late. You're getting through this Tuesday after a tough loss. How is the kind of the psyche and the morale with the team after a third straight setback and a tough one last night on the road?
It's definitely rough, but like during times like this, you just gotta grind it out and know that we still got nine more games left. So I mean, it's too late to look back now. I mean, we just got to take advantage of every opportunity we get.
Can you go into that a little bit? Because I think that's a really good point. As fans, we look at the next game and we go, oh, well, this could happen, and then their record will be this. For you guys, I know you go one game at a time, but you really do view this as nine left, and you probably think, hey, we could win any one of these, and then we're 12-5 at the end of this thing. Like, what is the mindset for you guys on that?
That's definitely the mindset. I don't think nobody's going to lay down, and well, I know no one's going to lay down. And so we got nine more games, like I said, and that's the mindset. Like, we just can't, like, let advantages slip away from us. So we just got to capitalize on the games that we have left.
Speaking of mindset, I wonder this. During a game, like Javon Kinlaw desperately trying to make a play on Patrick Mahomes, dives, ends up hurting his shoulder. Laremy Tunsil is desperate to try to get back on the field. His hamstrings obviously wouldn't let him do that. What's it like watching teammates fight so hard to try to play and then, not have him able to play? Just walk me through your mindset and emotions while your teammates are trying to give everything they have just to get back on the field.
I mean, I feel like that's what we do. We're competitors, and I mean, we around each other 24/7 throughout the week. So I mean, we never want to let each other down, and like that's our job, and that's something like everyone takes serious, and we'll never lay down or want to be out because something's bothering us and our body's not allowing us to go back. But it's like the mindset that those guys have that, man, I'm still gonna do this for my teammates.
Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt on Grant and Danny, our weekly appointment at 5 p.m. with Bill here on The Fan. The last few weeks, the run game numbers have fallen off a little bit. And from my eye, and you could tell me what you think, but it's just not as much room for you. It's not like you're missing things or you're not hitting things. There's just, you're getting hit at the line, you're getting hit in the backfield. What has changed? It seems like teams have really made an adjustment. You guys are still very high ranked as a rushing team, I think number four in the league, but you've been number one until a couple weeks ago. It looks like the well's dried up a little bit. So A, what's gone differently? And then B, how do you get it going again?
I feel like we just gotta go out there and play and do better at what we do. And I feel like that's the bottom line. We just gotta be better. I know me personally. I know I watched film and I was like, I could have did this. I mean, like I'm here for a reason, and everything's not going to be blocked up perfect. But like me, just like being a competitor, I feel like I just gotta make more plays and just dial in a little bit more like than I have already been. So
when you say when you're watching the tape, Bill, are you saying like on a run you go, oh man, if I would have just made this cut or if I would have done this a little differently, is that how you're evaluating it when you're talking about your own performance?
Oh yeah, for sure. And yeah, that's basically it. Just I'm definitely very hard on myself when it comes to things like that. But yeah, it's definitely stuff that we just have to clean up in the run game for us to be successful. And I mean, that's something we're gonna work at.
Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt with us here on Grant and Danny. So we were at the game last night, had pretty good seats, and were able to kind of see a lot of the action and the way it was looking. It seemed to us, you know, as we're watching, to Grant's point, Kansas City was really like coming up to the line of scrimmage, a bunch of guys in the box against some of those run looks, and you know, you're sort of fighting for your life just to get a couple of yards here and there. Did it felt like? I don't want to say they had a good scouting report and they kind of knew what you guys were about a little bit, but did it feel like maybe you guys were a step behind or did it feel like they had a good plan against you guys in terms of stopping the run?
Definitely want to give them credit. They came, had a lot of energy on defense, but we just got to execute. I feel like that's the bottom line. We got to execute and score more points for our defense and I feel like things will take care of itself.
Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Give us this insight, Bill, in the locker room at halftime, what that's like. You guys in the first half, it's 0-0 after a quarter, then it's 7-7 after the second quarter, and we're like, darn, okay, they're hanging with the Chiefs. Let's go. Second half was very different, but like, there's not a lot of time. I think it's something like you guys, by the time you get back to the locker room and come back out, it's like 9 minutes or something like that that you guys are in there. How does that actually work? Do you guys break into position groups? Does the running backs coach talk to you, or is it the OC to the whole offense, or does Dan address the team? What is the halftime like itinerary?
We wasn't happy that it was. We know we can play with anybody. So like us being tied up 7-7, it really wasn't a surprise. I want to get that out there, but we just coming in, making adjustments. Knowing that it's still treating it like it's 0-0 on the scoreboard, not too high, not too low, and it was. That's basically it. Just going in there and talking about what we see and saying it's 0-0 and we just gotta execute more. So that's kind of like what's going on.
But like, who are you in? Just a group of small groups of positions, or is it the whole team together? How does it work?
It's both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you start. Dan addresses you. Or maybe vice versa. And then you get into a smaller group and like, here's what we're seeing. Here's how they're blitzing. Let's do this in pass pro or whatever. So it's like there's multiple sessions with different groups, it sounds like.
Correct. Yeah, just a typical halftime when teams go make adjustments.
Gotcha. Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt with us here on G&D. So early on, you guys were moving the football. That first drive, it was clinical. It was something beautiful to watch. You know, that loud environment. I want to ask you about that too in a minute. But what happens when one of your best players, a playmaker, a guy that I would say, let's get the ball in this guy's hands every time, always in that same spot. Deebo Samuel has a mistake. It bounces off his hands. Interception kind of kills the drive. What's it like immediately after that there on the sideline, knowing that you guys were successful moving the football, but then kind of have that deflating moment? What's it like in the immediate aftermath there on the sideline?
So that's football. Right. Nobody mad. We know going into the game is going to be good and bad. So, I mean, nobody mad. We all know what he do. We all know what he brings to this offense. So, I mean, nobody looked at it. Nobody sideways, not one bit. Still early. And, I mean, like I said, it don't matter what happened. Like, we all got each other back at the end of the day. And yeah, that's basically it. I mean, it's football at the end of the day. So, we know it's a long game. Like, okay, that play behind us. Like, we still got four more quarters. Like, this is just the first quarter. And our defense ended up giving us the ball back. So, I mean, nobody really looked at that.
Bill, I know that you are a student of the game and the history of the game. We've talked to you about studying old running backs and different things. You've now been able to play Lambeau Field earlier this year and Arrowhead Stadium, the two most historical NFL venues that there are. Last night was my first time ever going to Arrowhead in 20 plus years covering the league, and it was awesome. I loved it. Just such a cool experience. What did you make of the stadium and the noise and the atmosphere, and did it live up to the hype for you?
Yeah, it was definitely a great stadium. Great football weather, felt good. The fans was loud. And I mean, it was everything that you dream of, like when you was a child. So, I mean, it was definitely fun playing there, but it would have been great if we would have came out there and got the win. But that's why we got a whole bunch of more games left. That's just the first half of the season, and we just gotta flip the switch.
Do you like playing? Some of my favorite athletes of all time liked playing on the road. Like, my favorite athlete, one of my favorites was Chris Webber. I know, way before your time, but a basketball player who was awesome. Used to love to give the crowd the shh motion after a major play or a big shot, kind of in crunch time to shut him up. That was something that was always so cool to me as an athlete, to have that kind of confidence and ability to follow through. Is that something you thrive on, to kind of make the home crowd quiet when you guys are on the road?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I don't mind playing anywhere. Like, anytime we get a chance to play football, it's a blessing. So, yeah, it's definitely better when you can go in and have the crowd silent.
Bill, before we let you go, I got to ask, what'd Cousin think of the game last night?
Cousin wasn't too proud of me personally.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
No, don't say that. Cousin was mad at that 2.8 per carry. What would Cousin tell you, Bill?
Yeah, he was definitely mad at me. Then get the exciting jumps that I usually get. So, I mean, that is me. I just gotta be in the loud more than I already am, so.
You tell Cousin to stick with you, all right? You tell Cousin there wasn't a lot of running space there for old Bill.
I'm not mad at Cousin. I accept it because I know I have to be better. So
Cousin was side-eyeing him when he got in the door at midnight.
He just holding me accountable to what I'm supposed to be here to do. So I feel like that's all it is.
That's the pup, Cousin Krosky Merritt, who was waiting for Bill at the door when he got in late last night. All right, Bill, thank you, buddy. It's great having you on as always, man. Keep your head up, and we're looking forward to another primetime tilt. Sunday Night Football against Seattle this coming week. That's a tough defense, tough assignment, so it'll be a big one. You guys need a win. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for the time.
I appreciate you.
Talk soon, buddy.
There's Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt on Grant and Danny. That's hilarious.
Cousin was indifferent when he got home.
Cousin was not feeling Bill, apparently, when he was trying to give him a nice pet yesterday.
I mean, truthfully, I don't necessarily believe that, right, when he came home, and it's a great bit by Bill. But, like, can you imagine if Cousin, like, came to the door, sniffed him, and then kind of turned away and went back to his pad?
After the Chargers game, Cousin was jumping all over him, licking him on the face, you know, chasing him around the house. Last night, Cousin was nowhere to be found when Bill got to the crib. That's tough. But, you know, look, he wears this, and he's such a good sport and comes on with us and talks shop. But he really, you could tell, like, he gets in the lab, as he calls it. He watches the tape. He really thinks in his mind, like, oh, man, last night I let the guys down. That's the sense I get. When the fact is, we all watch the game. Now, I'm sure I could go back on the All-22 and find a run or two where maybe if you do this, but that was not a Bill problem.
Like, I don't think so.
Chris Rodriguez ran the ball.
And good for him, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Rodriguez and Jeremy McNichols ran the ball as well. They averaged the exact same thing combined as Bill did, right?
This, to me, is a Kansas City thing more than it is a Washington thing. And granted, the last few opponents have done that.
I was going to say, this is 2.5 games where they haven't been able to run the ball.
But I will say, this was the first time with some competent receivers, some pros that have some deposits in the bank, and Kansas City still mauled them in the run game.
Yeah, I thought it was not a great matchup, and I tip my cap to Logan Paulson on Take Command. We do the pod before and after every game, looking ahead, looking back. And he basically said he thought Kansas City would kind of shove it on them on the interior in the run game a little bit, or be able to hold up pretty well in that regard. And he broke down why last week in our preview pod. So yeah, I didn't think they'd be able to come out and just run all over them, but I thought they'd be ahead of it. Sticks pretty frequently. The first drive is what I thought it would look like. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to do that all night. But if you have 4 or 5 of those drives and they don't end, you know, in a interception, but rather in, let's say, 3 field goals and 2 touchdowns, well, I just got you to 23 points. You know, it's hard to do it, but out of 8 or 9 drives, if you do that 5 times, that's where you get to 23 and it's a close game and you're right there. But they couldn't do it.
And Logan's forgotten more this morning than I'll know my entire life. But just watching from the great seats that we had, again, thanks to Kondori and Morad for that, it looked like it's just this no-nonsense, no-freelancing, run-fit, everybody do your job, like New England Patriots-style defense that Spagnuolo and company have. I mean, their linebackers can run a little bit. That Chenal guy flies around. Just up front, they're holding the point of attack. There's always someone kind of filling a lane. There's just nowhere to go, it feels like. And your only chance is to have some sort of remarkable, remember in the McNichols run or Brian Robinson last year when he went into the pile and then came out the other side? McNichols earlier this year. Everyone stopped because they thought the play was over. That's your chance to break a big run, is somebody does something remarkable. And if Bill's standard is, I didn't do anything remarkable last night,
yeah,
okay, I guess, fine, you could blame yourself. But to me, there was nowhere to go.
Well, look, you're running back. You got 9 carries. You had sub 30 yards. You're not going to feel great as long of 5.
Right.
So he thinks my way to help this thing is to break one, is to break a tackle, is to, you know, turn what should have been 2 or 3 into 15. And he's right. You know, the explosives are there. This offense is different. But when I talk about the lack of speed and explosiveness, I mostly mean the passing game. But in the run game, it's gone away, too. They haven't had it. Their long runs last night by non-Mariota keepers, 5 for Bill, 4 for McNichols, 2 for Rodriguez, 1 for Deebo Samuel. Those are the long carries of the 4 guys who touched the football last night. 5 as a long. That's not close to good enough. Grant and Danny on the Fan from Kansas City. We fly back tonight. We have not really given you guys much of a chance to read and react today, so let's do that next. Best and worst from the game. We can go a little game balls and gassers, you and I, Danny. But what was the moment you liked most? What was the moment you liked least? And what's your state of the union here for the Commanders after a third straight loss? 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on G&D.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
this wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In KC, after a 21-point loss for the Commanders, Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. You can watch us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube. You can listen to us all over the DMV on our flagship 106.7 and in Richmond for another half hour at least, AM 910, FM 105.1. The Odyssey app, free and available wherever you are. Every day this week, we're giving away Caps tickets at 4 o'clock. So your next chance to win tickets to see the Caps on Halloween tomorrow ahead of the Beltway Blitz. We're with you for another hour, taking you up to 6:30, and you will hear Dan Quinn's press conference, at least the best parts of it, from today at 6 in one half hour right here on G&D, live on The Fan. Danny, an opportunity for us to look back at yesterday's game, some of the best, some of the worst from a 21-point loss. We'll get to game balls and gassers in a minute. But my first thing I wanted to hit on was, if you could take one play out of the game, which one was it? I was thinking about this because Dan Quinn opened his presser today. His opening comment was that he felt like the story of the first half was missed opportunities.
I agree with that.
He said they didn't really get any of the opportunities in the second half, and that was the difference between the two halves. But my initial thought when I think about some games, you could take a play out and the result changes. I don't think that's the case when you lose by 21 in this contest. I think the Chiefs were better. They would have won almost no matter what. But the biggest negative, the play that was the worst and most impactful negatively to Washington, my first thought would have been end of that first drive, the pick to Samuel on a first and 10 from the 18. If he catches that screen and gets you 11 or 12 on a well-blocked play, now it's first and goal inside the 10, and maybe you punch it in and you score and you're up 7-0 on the road. But the one I actually eventually came back to, honestly, was a 4th-and-2 touchdown by Kansas City when it was 7-7 to cap their long drive in the third quarter, the first of three touchdown drives that they had over like 15, 17 game minutes. They went over those three drives, by the way, 8 plays 80 yards, 8 plays 75 yards, 13 plays and over 100 yards. And it was that first one on a 4th-and-2. It was a Mahomes rolls right.
Just a Mahomes special.
Spies time. He's got a guy coming in to hit him, and then he just dumps the ball to Kareem Hunt. If that's incomplete, if you get off the field there, you take over 1st-and-10, you are with the ball mid-third quarter, still 7-7. Instead, it's 14-7, and you're chasing the game a little bit. And then on the ensuing kickoff, it goes out of bounds at the 1, touched by Jalen Lane, and kind of it felt like the wheels were off the wagon a little bit.
Yeah, that was a disastrous sequence there. That's a good answer because, you know, they don't score, you do. Or, and those points are off the board, and you've got the football. Who knows if you're able to make anything? You know, they showed they couldn't do much from that bad field position, which is where they would have ended up had they started there. They took it over. But, I think you said it well. There's no one play that if it changes, you know, they win. But I would have loved to have seen it. I would have loved to have seen if Zach Ertz gets that first down, for example, when they were driving again, right, on that 4th-and-5, he gets, you know, 4.9 or whatever the hell you want to say. Like, he's right there in front of that 5-yard marker. They mark it short. And, you know, a la Pittsburgh last year, their ball, they go down the field. Maybe that happens. But to me, the easy answer is Debo's interception. That ball is, you got what you wanted. You got the look. You got the thing. You got your playmaker. This is who your offense goes through making a play that's bad. What are you going to do, right? Not throw him the football? Not give him the ball again? Of course not. Like, that's the dude. And if you go down there and score, and there's a great chance, in my view, they would have scored on that play. There's basically one guy that can make the tackle, a safety coming down, Debo Samuel, head of steam, one-on-one with somebody. I'll take my chances there, and I'll draw that play up again tomorrow, and let's run it again and see what happens. That play, if you get a lead, and Kansas City's kind of fumbling around, no pun intended, they're not quite themselves, maybe you could blink and be up by double digits and be up a couple of scores, you know, whether it's 10 points, 13 points for a second touchdown or something. Again, I still think you lose the game because Kansas City's better than you, but I would have loved to have seen it. I would have loved to have seen that game with a different script where you didn't go, God, Washington's been better here, and they've got nothing to show for it.
Well, to your point, too, there's just so little margin for error right now with this offense. And so few things last night went well on offense that maybe that should be the play that you change, is one of the really bad ones on that side of the ball. Just thinking about it from a standpoint of where was the most damage done or what was the most deflating moment, I guess through that lens, it probably was the Debo pick. Because I remember that was the one time during the game where I kind of turned to you and was like, oh no.
Yep.
Yeah, there were other moments that were bad, but that was the one where they were kind of doing more than anybody expected. They're going down the field. There's no penalties. It's super loud. The crowd is into it. It reminded me of last year's Commanders, or honestly, like the Washington football team under Rivera, where they had Heinicke and they were like 5 ahead of the sticks, 4 ahead of the sticks. It was that Scott Turner kind of offense where they just possessed the ball constantly. And in the first half, it was something like 18 minutes to 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Like they dominated time of possession. It was exactly how it needs to be. I really think that everything was going right, and then that pick was like, I remember looking at you and being like, that's the play that'll kill them.
Because that's self-inflicted.
Tonight, you can't have that.
And
you might be able to have that against the Giants. You can't have that tonight.
Well, we can draw the distinction, too, where, again, I talk about this all the time with sports. The thing that drives me crazy is the Dillon G effect. Somebody that's not good shoves it on you. Patrick Mahomes is going to do that to everybody. He's going to make 10 plays a game where you go, I don't think anybody else that's ever played can do that. And here he does it every week, seemingly something so miraculous and magical and excellent that you just take it for granted now, right? He does those kinds of plays to all folks. You know that's coming at some point. What you don't know that's coming is your best offensive playmaker swatting the ball or lobbing it up like it's a like a volleyball set looking for Karch Karai to spike it in the face of an opponent. Like he couldn't have tipped it better to a defender. I mean, there's a million ways that ball could go, and it went to the single worst possible place. A guy that was out of the play, basically, blocked right into that football for an interception. That was the worst-case scenario, because, again, that's self-inflicted. That wasn't a great play by an opponent. It wasn't one of those, some guy, you know, weaved through one of the blocks that whoever it was, the other receivers out there, Chris Moore or John Bates or somebody had set and made some kind of incredible play on the ball. That was a botch by a great offensive player.
JB's in Waldorf wants to hop in with the play he would have changed from last night. Dan Quinn was talking about missed opportunities in a few plays that loomed large. What's up, JB? How are you?
Man, what's going on, fellas? What's going on? I hope y'all enjoying that barbecue out there in Kansas City, man.
It is delicious, sir.
Yeah, it's been a great trip.
But look, man, feel me on this one, and forgive me if I'm out of place with it. But after Lattimore got that pick, that drive we went on, and then it came to a 4th and 1, and all we needed was 1 yard, and Mariota like threw off his back foot to McLaurin down the sideline like a
yep.
like just a errant throw. I think that killed the momentum because we had so much momentum. Like the team was hyped from Lattimore getting the pick, and then we go down and then we don't do anything. And like all we needed was 1 yard. I just think that was a terrible play call. I wish they would have did something else, and who knows, we could have went on a drive and got a touchdown or something.
So just to correct you, that was after the Wagner interception, but I think the point still stands, and it's a good phone call. I think you're right about it. That was when you had Washington. Oh my God, they got the good turnover. They got the lucky turnover that they never get. They never get the break. And then that 4th and 1, after an 8-yard gain on first down, pass for no gain to Debo Samuel, Zach Ertz for 1 yard. You're now at 4th and 1. Kind of where the read took you, I suppose. If you're Mariota, you had 1-on-1 with McLaurin. A blitz is coming. I think it was a safety blitz right up the middle. I haven't gone back and looked at it yet. I don't know if you have, but you know he had Ertz elsewhere. If you'd have looked in that direction, probably easy pitch and catch for a first down. That play doesn't work. Kansas City walks right down and scores, and then you're down 7-0.
I still also don't get, as an aside, the usage for Terry in this game, and it's kind of been throughout the season actually. It's almost all out to the sidelines. It's very, very wide. This is a guy who's cut his teeth in this league running crossers, drags, slants, middle of the field stuff. Awesome at digs. He had the one catch in the middle of the field that got him out of their own goal line. I think it was after the Jalen Lane play on like a 3rd down or
you know, I think maybe, you're right, actually.
Maybe a 2nd and long, 2nd and 7, 2nd and 8. And it was like a deep you know, dig inwards, and he got 17, 18, whatever it was, right there in the middle of the field. But like, I don't know why that hasn't been a part of this offense, or why almost all of his usage, if you look at the chart from yesterday, he's just kind of running like fade type balls and stuff out toward the sideline to make these really hard toe-tap catches. Yared's in Arlington on Grant and Danny wants to hop in. What would you have taken back, Yared?
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. If you allow me to take two things. The first one will be, I know Lattimore, for the first time, I think he had his best game yesterday, but it's still on that fumble. And instead of pick it up, if he fall on the ball, that would be a game changer, I would say. And the other one, normally Debo is the kick returner with McCaffrey. So I would have kept Lane on the punt, because on that play, first he fumbled, and then on a third down play, he didn't touch the ball. I think back-to-back two mistakes, I think those are the two plays.
That's a good call. I mean, bad sequence, obviously, for rookie Jalen Lane. So to your point about the fumble, that's it's 14-7, Kansas City's driving, Darnell Savage forces the fumble. You know,
it's punch fumble.
Yeah, hard to see from where we were if Lattimore should have gotten it, shouldn't have gotten that. I don't know. I'm not besmirching him on that.
Punch fumble, though.
Yeah, but that,
they never do it.
Very exciting.
They did it.
You don't get
it. Poet's dog punches the ball right out, and the ball's on the carpet.
Such a good bet.
Nobody grabs it.
Four plays later, touchdown, and that was give my receiver an extra second, throw back behind me to Travis Kelce in traffic, touchdown, and that was all she wrote, 21-14. So if you stop him there with a turnover, would have been your third of the day. You'd feel, again, look, you got a puncher's chance.
I want to get to our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day. I think people will be surprised by the results. Who gets the majority of the blame for the Commanders' loss to the Chiefs? Offense, defense, coaching? We'll tell you what the people say on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter today. And also want to get into how things look in the standings, in the conference, in the division. Big hole to dig out of here, coming home for a pair of NFC collisions. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny, brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. Today and every day, they'll square you away on a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney for you. Wanted to get to our Metropolitan Moving and Storage poll of the day, though, right now. You can find it on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account, where we're asking people, what was the biggest reason for yesterday's loss in Kansas City? Offense, defense, coaching. You got to choose one of the three. And Danny, 47% of people, the highest response, went to the offense. In fact, the defense at 30% and coaching at 23%, second and third. So I'd flip offense and defense, I think, just because, well, yes, the offense only scored 7 points and you could start and end the conversation there. I thought defensively not being able to get off the field at all in the second half killed them. They had no time of possession after halftime. So while the offense's foibles were largely in the first half and then they didn't move it very well in the second, they also never got in rhythm and the defense gave up three really, really long scoring drives. But I always grade on a curve here because I expect the offense of this team to be good. I expect the defense of this team to be bad. The defense has that covered. Last night, the offense was worse than expectation. The defense actually may have overachieved expectations, at least for half of a game. The one group I want to point out, though, I thought the coaching staff, in terms of Dan Quinn's decision-making, you know, challenges, timeouts, and specifically going for fourth downs, was closer to last year. Like, I didn't have a whole lot of moments where with Dan Quinn I was really angry. The one time I was pretty furious was with 7 minutes left, down by 21, when they did the most white flag waving kind
cowardly
loser punt in the history of the world. That was the only time I was super annoyed by Dan Quinn. Otherwise, if you have a coaching issue, it's that, you know, if Joe Witt, you feel like, got beat by Andy Reid, or, you know, maybe Kingsbury, you know, didn't hold his own in the second half against Spags or something. But this was not a Dan Quinn, what are you doing game, other for me than the one time where they punted at the end of the game, down 21 with seven left. You're going, seriously, man? You might as well just walk out to midfield and ask Andy Reid if everyone can go home, because this is a giant waste of time for the rest of this game.
Yeah, for me, it was the offense, and here's why. Yesterday, we did a great breakdown of, here's how low the bar is. Here's all we're asking for from the defense. They sacked Mahomes three times. If you do that all season long, only three teams in the entire NFL last year averaged three sacks or more per game. Only three teams top 50. As a total, you'd be on pace for 51 sacks if you did that all season long. Pat Mahomes, really hard to sack. Or Patch Mahomes, if you will. Really, really hard to sack. They did it three times. You intercepted him twice. Nothing more can be asked of this terrible unit. This is an awful defense, and they did that yesterday. I will sign up for that regardless of what else happens in that game because of how bad that group is. So that, to me, the defense did everything that I thought they could do and more. That's everything possible with a couple of changes, a couple of good breaks, etc. I need the offense to have more than 260 yards. I need the offense to be able to run the ball at all. I need the offense to be able to threaten deep at some point to get a chunk yard that isn't necessarily a check down where, you know, almost like a no-look pass from Mariota to Ben Sinnott, who nobody expects. I need it to be more than Jeremy Nichols just doing some kind of yeoman's work, making nine guys miss on his way to a 14-yard gain, or a YOLO ball to Terry McLaurin that has to be overturned via replay. Nothing easy for the offense right now. That's supposed to be the good student, and they didn't do near enough for me.
Well, to that point, I mean, you could look at either side of the ball just through the numbers and both come back spitting out bad grades. In other words, if I was to say to you before the game, like, only 14 first downs, that's not good. Now, they did go 7 of 12 on third down. Most of those, they put hay in the barn in the first half because they were third and short a lot. It was very ugly in the second half in that regard. But total net yards, 260 on offense, nope. Offensive plays, only 52, bad. Average gain, you know, yard per play, 5.0, nope. 60 net rushing, that's a loss. 200 net passing, probably a loss. I give them credit that they only had three penalties, and on offense it was even lighter than that. But defensively, similarly, the fact that you gave up 432 net when the Chiefs stopped playing halfway through the fourth quarter, the fact that you gave up 6.5 per pop, the fact that you gave 150 rushing, the fact that you gave up 299 to Mahomes and a quarterback rating well over 100. Like, these are all things, similarly, where you put them into a computer, it spits out a grade. It's not going to be a very good one, but you got outclassed, you got beat by the Chiefs, and now you're on to two home games in the NFC against the Seahawks and the Lions. Looking at the division right now in the conference, though, Danny, we've talked about this with this group. I mean, they have dug a massive hole. The only benefit, if there's one, coming out of this game yesterday is that it's finally an AFC loss, where they were 1-4 in the NFC, and they can't afford to really lose any
games. Yeah, if there's such a bright side as being 3-5, that's it.
That's from a resume standpoint where you're at. The other thing is, we talked about this on the show yesterday, everybody in the NFC ahead of them almost in the wild card race lost this week. Literally almost everybody. So right now in the division, Washington's 3-5. They are three games behind Philadelphia, who they still play two times, and they're 1-1 in the NFC East. They've got a better mathematical chance to win the division with a Philly collapse or crash than they do the conference, where at this moment, there are three teams worse than them in the entire NFC. Arizona, the Giants, and the Saints. Two teams that have benched their quarterbacks, and a Cardinals team that has started two quarterbacks because of injury. Washington, in a 16-team conference, is 13th right now. Not like tied for 13th. There are literally 12 teams with better records than them right now. It's bad.
Yeah, the tightrope you've got to walk is very narrow. And now it's, I don't want to say you're eliminated because you rip off every win, you know, the rest of the way. It'll take care of itself. But we keep saying this. The NFC is a crowded playoff field. You've just made it really, really hard on yourself. You've got to beat Philadelphia twice now. You have to probably win these next two games, right, in the NFC just to try to get back to even. So you have a chance so that that Giants game matters. And we're also talking about something that's out of character for this group now, right? If this was a really good team that had stumbled, you'd go, yeah, but watch this.
That's a good point.
The other part is like, what major fix is coming that's going to allow you to even dream about beating all these teams?
Well, the Chiefs, as an example, got off to the really slow start. And in Kansas City, they were having these get-right conversations of, here's where the schedule gets a little softer, and here's where you could possibly, you know, birdie some holes. And they're going to be okay because they've got Mahomes and Reed, and they're inevitable. We're acting like there's a norm that they're going to get back to. We're acting like they're underperforming what they are.
Right.
When the fact is, last year was probably the exaggeration. That was probably what is off schedule, off script, you know, not authentic. This might just be what they are. It certainly is this season. They're 3-5 with a couple of wins over terrible teams, the Giants and the Raiders. And thank God you played the Giants when you did. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Dan Quinn spent some time with the media today. You're going to hear what he had to say about this game next on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.